Does anybody believe that he's worthy of all the praise and honor and glory? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody here made up your mind that you're going to be an overcomer? You're going to take advantage of what God has made available and appropriate the strength of God into your life. Praise God. Appreciate the beautiful singing, the wonderful music that ushers us into the presence of God. Every service, just I love coming into the presence of God, and appreciate the hard work and all of the energy that our praise group and our musicians and the choir puts into to what they do. It's a wonderful thing to participate in a body ministry and people moving in areas of their passion and bringing forth the fruit of the kingdom, and we get to enjoy that. I mean, tonight somebody's ministering over in the other building. They've been ministering in a jambalaya pot. And so if after church, you're going to beat your brains out with your tongue eating jambalaya. And it's wonderful because it's ministry. And just all the good things that God allows the people of God to be a part of. Praise God. Praise God. Could we just once more lift our hands and press into the presence of God? Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we worship you. We magnify you. Ah, what a wonderful God. What a worthy God. What a holy, 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 holy God. We bless your name, oh God. We worship you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. Come on, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. This is our moment. We're about to work through the end of our day, and somebody else is going to pick it up over across the western horizon. But let's sing our song and lift our voice and give our praise and do our part. Hallelujah. Hey, mighty, mighty, mighty God. We worship you. We magnify you. We bless you. Praise God. We're going to read tonight again in 1 Timothy. We'll be in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And we'll make our way through verse 6, perhaps in the reading tonight. We're going to work on these first few verses, though. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke. These people are servants. This day, they're slaves. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. He's talking to Timothy. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to his godliness. Paul said, if you don't agree with what I've taught you, Timothy, and this is broader than this segment in 1 Timothy 6. This reaches back to all of the things we've been dealing with in 1 Timothy about how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. But it is encompassing of this that we're reading tonight. He said, if you teach otherwise, you don't consent to this. Verse 5, he is proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions, strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He said, I'm not interested in talking to somebody that wants to fuss and cuss and argue about their circumstances. He said, I want you to understand this, that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not conditional. It's not determined by your surroundings. It's not determined by your circumstances. It isn't determined by anyone else around you. By the weather, by the job, by the boss, even if you're a slave, it's not determined by that. He said, whatever state I find myself in, therein to be content. And he said, this is the key to victory in the kingdom of God. Godliness, doing what God has said, with contentment, being content in that. That is the definition of great gain. And so Paul follows, whatever state I find myself in, therein to be content. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We bless your name. We worship you. We magnify you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight. And so, again, let as many servants as are under the yoke, these that are in bondage or in slavery, count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Whatever you are in life, be that as unto God. Wherever you are in life, be that as unto God, and don't let your good spirit be corrupted by the conditions around you or the attitude of others. You don't get a pass because you're in a difficult place or in a valley experience. And they that have believing masters, if your master is a believer and he won't let you go, don't despise him because he's your brother, but rather do him service because he's faithful and beloved and he's a partaker of the benefit. God never lets you off the hook. Whatever he's working on you. He won't let you triangulate. He won't let you squeeze out from under the mandate of the word of God. He won't let you blame someone else or fault someone else or excuse yourself by someone else's behavior. He always demands that you line up squarely under the center of your responsibility in the kingdom of God. And he lays all of the responsibility on your shoulder concerning you and my shoulder concerning me. Praise God. So if we pursue this a little further, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am a part of a dream and a vision. I have a destiny in the kingdom of God. Tell somebody that. Tell them, I am not a piece of drifting flotsam or jetsam. I'm not a piece of drifting driftwood in the tidal pool of life. But every step I take and every place I go and everything I'm involved in and everywhere I find myself, I am in the middle of the hand of God and his will and his purpose, because my steps are ordered up there. You can't say this if you're halfway in and halfway out. You can't say this if you're a part-time living for God. You can't say this if you're not serious about this. But if you're doing this with all your heart, your steps are ordered of the Lord. Your way is dictated by God, and nothing happens to you except God says yes. And so when I lift up my eyes, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. I don't care what kind of day you're having. It's a day to rejoice. It's a day to be glad. And if you can't do that, you don't understand who you are in the kingdom of God. Clap your hands unto him. Lift up a voice. Somebody that's in trouble ought to shout. Somebody that has pressure, you ought to give God glory right now. Somebody that's got sickness in your body, you ought to give God some praise right now. Well, praise God. So Colossians 3:22. Servants, and this is reiteration of what we just read in 1 Timothy. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't do it in front of him. Yes, yes, yes. And then you go off in the back and just cut him to shreds and talk about him and undermine him and dig. Don't gather around the water fountain and talk about what a slime ball the boss is. No, but you're not serving him. You're serving him. Not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And everyone say, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Don't do it to men. Don't consider the men involved. Consider the God that's called you by his name, that washed your sins away, that filled you with his spirit, that wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. Consider the one that set forth your destiny. He's got a plan for you, and he said, I know my plans for you. It's plans for good and not evil. I've got a design. I've got a destiny for you. If you believe that, you ought to give God a little praise in the house tonight. God is taking us somewhere. God has a vision for you, and you're a part of God's vision. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, and this does get redundant. This is all Paul. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. He's writing the same letter to everybody. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, good attitude. I'm doing what the master told me to do, and I'm not griping and I'm not complaining. When he says dig the ditch, I dig it. I say how deep, how wide, how far, and I get to digging, and I'm singing the praises of God while I'm digging, because I know as I'm digging this, I'm moving into the destiny of God. I know God has his hand on me, although today I've got blisters and I'm sweating and it's hard and it's not pleasant, but I know I belong to God and nothing can change that. And so in the middle of it all, as I respond to God, and you got to understand this, that the working of God's destiny in your life has altogether to do with your response and your lack of response or your evil response or your moving in another direction may stymie the very thing that God's trying to do in your life. The next 10 feet of that ditch, there may be a miracle buried there for you, and you just got to keep on digging, and don't let that business get in your heart and in your mind. Don't respond like a man. Don't respond like a woman. Respond like a child of God. And all the children of God said amen, and all the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, praise God. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Bondage, negative circumstances cannot change the power of God in your life. Well, I could be this if they. Well, I could do this if he. Well, I could. Well, that's baloney. That's an excuse. That's a place where you shuck off your personal responsibility. But in the kingdom of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all things are passable with God. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And a man can't stop it. And a company can't stop it. And a social condition can't stop it. And a dictator can't stop it. And a tyrant can't stop it. And the devil can't stop it. You gotta believe. Anybody believe that in the house right now? My God, I'm moving toward what God has for me, and there's not a roadblock. Nobody can stop this. God is a waymaker. God will open up the sea if he needs to. God will open up Jordan at flood tide if he needs to. He'll make a way for me. My God, he's taking me someplace, and I'm going to love the result, and I'm going to love it when we get there, and there's no end to the goodness of it, and we're on our way in the kingdom of God. And you need to shut your mouth if you're singing the old song, the old blues song, and the old condemning song, and the old griping song, and the old complaining song. David said he lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He established my goings, and he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Clap your hands, lift your voice. I'm singing a new song. Today's going to be a great day, because God's got something great in mind. My God, my circumstance doesn't have anything to do with it, because God can change the whole world in 24 hours. Part of my daily prayer is that God will help me to be as effective in his house as Joseph was in the house of his master Potiphar, and in the house of his jailer, and in the house of Pharaoh. Because in each of those places, Joseph prospered. and Potiphar prospered. Joseph had the hand of God upon him, and the jailer prospered. Joseph had the hand of God on his life, and mercy was all about him. And Pharaoh and all of Egypt prospered. And because of that, his household prospered, and the world prospered. My goodness gracious, when this skinny kid without a shining multicolored robe was down in the bottom of that pit, you could not have analyzed that situation and said, the destiny of the world hinges on this young man. There's no way you could have known that. Neither can you gauge the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of your situation and the vast spiritual potential there. Neither can you gauge the vast strength of your situation by the natural circumstances in which you find yourself. Praise God. You just need to, when you can't understand, you just need to say, God knows. And when you can't see, you need to say, God sees. And when you don't have any wiggle room and you can't move, you say, God can do anything. God is able. And your response always needs to every question on the exam, it needs to be, God, 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 God. I don't have to know the answer to the world. I don't have to know the answer to the day, to the circumstance. I have a universal trump card, and it is God. I can plug God into this circumstance, and God changes everything. Praise God. Joseph, when Joseph was in the house of his father, he served well, but he had light duty. He was spoiled, and there wasn't much demanded of him. He had unearned favor because he was Rachel's boy, and he was the love of his daddy's life. And he had a coat of distinction that he earned just by being and by breathing. And it was just wonderful. He just got all this just because. It's kind of like when you're a new convert and God's showering down blessings and the church loves you and everybody's reaching out to you and we're so glad you're here and all. And then you got to stand up and learn how to live for God. He had in that place in his dad's house, he had dreams and he had visions. But he was a beautiful hothouse flower. And testing always comes. There has to be a test. It may be a good-looking boat, but you don't know what it'll do till it gets out in the storm. You may be a great-looking child of God sitting on the pew, but you don't know who you are until you step out into the middle of the crucible of life. And life begins to happen. And then in the threshing floor, in the crucible of testing, you find out, the devil finds out, God finds out, everybody finds out. In the discussion of the church amongst outsiders and sinners, there's always the story of, oh yeah, I worked with one of those people. Yeah. Man, they shout on Sunday night and they cuss like a sailor on the job. Yeah, I worked with one of those folks. Yeah, they were all about it at church and they were a racist down on the job. Yeah, I worked with one of those folks. Yeah, they were down, always going to church, always talking church, and always making snide remarks about the ladies on the job. Ah, there's always stories like that. About, because it's out there where you walk this and where you live this that you really get a chance to either be salt or not, to be light or to be darkness, where God says, now I know that you love me with all your heart. You don't get that analysis until you have a chance to be tested. Praise God. Praise God. Genesis 39. Reggie, you got that?
Genesis 39, starting in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites.
My God, he was thrown into a pit, and then he was sold into slavery. And he's miles away from his daddy and away from his home.
Which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph.
I beg your pardon?
And the Lord was with Joseph.
God was with him?
I mean, we just saw him get thrown in a pit. His coat was ripped off. His brothers were going to kill him. And then they found out they could make a buck on him, and they sold him into slavery. And then he got hauled off like a piece of merchandise. He was objectified. He was hauled down into slavery and sold on a slave block in Egypt, taken down to a new master's house. Oh, but look at that boy. God is with him. Because you can't judge it by the circumstance, and you can't judge it by what's happening around him. You have to go back to the dream and the vision to understand. You're going to be defined by the dream of God. You're going to have to make up your mind that I am going to be defined by what God has said, and I'm going to be defined by what the dream has spoken, and I'll be defined by what the vision has said. And the vision will dictate everything. The vision will define everything. The vision will clarify everything. So my day here, I'm sold into slavery, but the word of God, which is infallible, said, but the Lord was with him. God was with him there, and God's not killing Egyptians, and God's not strangling Potiphar, and God's not putting a Superman cape on Joseph, and he flies back home. He's not doing any of that stuff. He lets him go right down into slavery, because when you're on the right side of this thing, and you're thinking about it like God thinks, he's not walking down into a place of destitution, into a place of slavery. He's walking into the dream and the vision of God, and it looks in the natural like it's something else, but the natural can't understand God, and the natural doesn't have the understanding of the dream and the vision. Read on. The Lord was, everybody say, the Lord was with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're doing this right, the Lord is with you. Come on, I want somebody that's in trouble tonight, somebody that has pain tonight, somebody that's got a problem, your job is terrible tonight. I want you to say, the Lord is with me. My God, if you're living this right, it's absolutely the truth. And there's not anything in the world that can change that. Read on.
And he was a prosperous man.
Yeah, Potiphar was a prosperous man, and Job was a prosperous man in Potiphar's house.
And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian.
He was in his house. He was in the house of his master. He's a slave. He's just what Paul's talking about. Read on.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him.
People can see it when God's with you.
And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
And he saw that, man, this guy's prospering because the Lord is with him. Now, this guy's a pagan. He doesn't serve the God of Abraham. He's a pagan, but he sees that something special about this guy. Because this guy, everywhere he goes, he's smiling. Everywhere he goes, he's singing. Everywhere he goes, he's talking about the goodness of God. Everywhere he goes, he lays his hands on it and good things happen because God is with him. Let me tell you, if you're a griper and a complainer and a fault finder and a blamer, God can't work with that. God's just going to stand back and let you melt down in your own bitterness. But you better understand this. God wants to use you. You've been called. There's a dream hanging in the balance here. You need to get on board with what God has said and say, this is a good day. I'm down in Egypt, but this is a good day. I'm in Potiphar's house, but this is a good day because God has sent me here. And I'm not defined by all this. I'm defined by the dream. You're walking into Egypt. I'm walking in a dream. You're walking into bondage. I'm walking in a dream. You're walking into slavery. I'm walking in a dream. You better write your own script. You better say yes to what God has said. Read on.
And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his
hand. I got a promotion in slavery. Hot dog, I'm a better slave than I was yesterday. I got a promotion. What are you? I'm a slave, but I'm a better slave than I was yesterday. I got a promotion in slavery. God will promote you in the midst of that negative situation if you'll respond to God and not to the circumstance. God will promote you, and God will continue you on your journey in the dream of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Go ahead.
And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake.
God wants to bless your workplace. God wants to bless your boss. God wants to bless those that are troubling you. God wants to bless those that are tormenting you. God, you say, well, no, he doesn't. Yeah, he does. He said, if your enemy thirst, give him to drink. If he hungers, feed him. Bless those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Am I reading from the book tonight? Why? Because the blessing of God opens up a portal. The blessing of God has power. God didn't come with cursing. He didn't come with killing. He came with goodness and mercy and blessing, and it opens up more than the negative ever would open up. You can't open up your circumstance with your tongue. You need to shut up unless you're ready to praise and magnify God. Don't be a griper. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a mourner. Don't be a sad sack. Be a praiser of the Most High God. Be a worshiper of God. The blessing of God was on all that he had in the house and in the field. He didn't perpetuate a work slowdown. He didn't go on strike. He wasn't a griper or a complainer. He did not lose his vision. We'll see that in a little bit here. He was excellent in his performance. If you want to know how to respond to a negative situation in your life, in your home, at your workplace, you need to be like Joseph in that house. And your prayer needs to be, God, help me to prosper in this house like Joseph prospered in that house. But ultimately, God, I want to prosper in your house like he did in all of those places where you brought him. Defined by a dream, defined by a vision, and not by those conditional circumstances. He was faithful in the house of an earthly master. Praise God. He was faithful in a situation that was vexing to the natural man. But we don't read any of that. We don't see any of that. We just see excellent performance and the blessing of God and promotion coming and favor coming. Until the woman comes into the picture. Read, Brother Reggie, 39:7-10.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me.
Let me tell you something. You start doing the right thing. You rise up to the next level. You start making your way up the staggered steps of the dialectic of your experience in the kingdom of God. As you resolve each step, when you rise up to the next step, don't ever imagine for a moment that conflict and resistance was down at a lower level and you'll be free from it. Every time you step up to the next level, you're going to fight the same devil. He'll have a new hat on, but it'll be the same old devil. It'll be the same resistance in another application. But you need to understand, as soon as Joseph got his promotion and things are looking good, then his wife came to him and said, Joseph, y'all, I want you to lie with me. Read on. He got a temptation.
But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, I hear from people all the time that justify bad behavior because they've had a bad experience. I hear from people all the time that justify what they did because of what somebody else did. You feel like you can get back, you can get some, that you can do something else, that you don't have to be faithful to the calling of God, the dream, the vision of God in your life, but you don't get a vacation from this, and you don't get an allowance, and you don't get an out because somebody else has failed. God will not allow you to triangulate in this business. It's you and God face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Well, praise God. And he could have been bitter, and he could have said, God put me in Egypt. God sold me into slavery. How in the world does God expect me to be faithful to him? But he didn't do any of that. He said, how can I do this great sin against God? And he said, and he had a regard for Potiphar, his master. He said, he has given me everything. He just has held you back because you're his wife. He could have justified. He could have rationalized. He could have excused. He could have done a number of things. But he just stood strong and he was faithful because he was the product of a dream and the pursuer of a dream. And he wasn't going to be turned aside by circumstance or by pressure. And he wasn't going to yield to those bitter things that flesh just has. Joseph had flesh just like you got flesh. And Joseph words, Joseph had a fallen, distorted instinct like we all do. And there is the propensity for bitterness and to be offended and all of those things in all of us. But you got to shrug that off. That's not a matter of circumstance or inevitability. That is a matter of will and choice. If offense comes to you and gets in you, you can't stop the thing from flying over your head, but you can stop it from landing on you and taking root in your spirit. You can do that. You can shake that off. You can shout that off. You can pray that off. You can worship that off, but you can stop it. And so he said, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this because of the fact that I still believe God. You see, all through this story, we get indications that he still holds the dream and still understands the vision and still believes in God. And he knows he's on the way. I don't know to what degree he had understanding, but he had enough to say, nope, I still belong to God and God is still with me. He could have justified. He could have excused. But in the house of his earthly master, in the house of that early earthly definition or earthly mandate, he shows himself to be the servant of God. You don't just live for God on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. If that's your experience in God, you are crippled. You are ineffective, and you can't be the dreamer, and you can't be the recipient of the dream. It's when you step out on Monday morning. It's when you're walking in the street. It's when you're out in the city. It's when you're down on the job. It's when you're at the table at your own house, and you have alternatives to living right and doing right, but you stand up and say, no, no, I learned the lesson in the house of God, and it generalizes to all my life. No, I sang the song in the house of God, and I really meant it because it really is who I am. No, no, I went to an altar and I prayed a prayer in the house of God, and I really am that prayer. I really do believe that. I really am a child of God. You know a child of God because they're shouting on Sunday night, but they're walking it on Monday. They're singing on Sunday morning, but they're living it on the job. You know a child of God because they'll pray about it at church, but they're praying about it on Thursday afternoon. My God, let's clap our hands. I want to be real in this. I want what God has for me. I want to see the dream and the vision of God come to pass in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Read 39:20-23, Reggie.
And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound.
Because Mrs. Potiphar lied on him and said he did try to make time with her, but he didn't. And he ran away, but he ran and she held on to his cloak and he ran without his coat. Don't know what he was running in, but he lost coats back at daddy's house, and he lost a coat at Potiphar's house. But the lesson in this, young men, is don't go in the house with her when you're by yourself. Don't ever go in the house with her just by. Don't ever be in the car with her just by yourself. It works both ways, young lady. Don't go in the car with him, just the two of you. Don't go in the house with him, just the two of you. Make sure you got a group. What's a group? That's another discussion. We'll have that another time. But all the people that know what a group is said amen. Yes. All right, you got to have a group. Praise God. So anyway, she lied. She said he came. He tried to force himself. I screamed. And he ran away, and here's his coat. And she lay down and she cried all day till Potiphar came home. And then she said, this is what happened. You brought that Hebrew in here to mock us, and look what he tried to do. And he ran, I got his coat. Now you do something about it. I really don't believe Potiphar believed her, because he could have killed Joe, but he didn't. And he could have put him in the dungeon with the poor people, but he put him in Pharaoh. He put him in a federal pen. You know, it was nice, racquetball and golf, and not too bad. White collar people go there. Joseph went to the Cush jail, and so she lied, and now he's going to prison. So ramp that back up, verse 20.
And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph.
I beg your pardon?
The Lord was with Joseph.
No, no, God wasn't with him, man. God forgot about him. He was in prison. Are you kidding me? He just got sold into slavery. Now he's in prison. Man, he's walking down into a pit. His dream is in the netherworld. He's walking into a nightmare, not a dream and a vision. He's in prison, and the Lord is with him, and the Lord's got a wild sense of humor. the Lord is with him and what?
And showed him mercy and gave him
favor. Hey, Lord, look, if you're going to pour mercy out on somebody tonight, just go ahead and give it to somebody else. Because I read the story of Joseph, and Joseph, you were with him and showed him mercy, and he went to the slammer. And if that's mercy, I don't know if I want in. But you don't define it by the way the world defines it. You don't define it in the natural. You understand that wherever I go, even if I go to the jailhouse, and God's people do go to the jailhouse sometimes, but not because they don't pay their fines and not because they break the law and not because they... God's people all through the Word of God go to jail because they preach the Word of God and they disagree with the Pharisees and they disagree with the Sanhedrin and they get in trouble with Rome and all kinds of things happen. And friend of mine, the Supreme Court just made a ruling and the White House was bathed in rainbow colored lights and we might have a chance to go down to the jailhouse. And it... because our world has lost its mind, but we still got ours. And when we open our mouth and begin to speak about the truth of God, there may be somebody that doesn't like it, but we're going to go ahead and talk about the Word of God anyway. But he's going down into the jail, and the Lord is with him, and the Lord has mercy. And he is walking into the dream and the vision of God. He is walking into a way the Lord has prepared for him. And God has been there before him. And God has seen it all. And God is choreographing it. And everything in the natural would have said it's negative, it's bad, it's a loss, it's failure, it's trouble, it's disaster. It's not remedial to your terrible situation that you're already in. But that, none of that was true. He's on his way down into the dream of God. He's on his way into prison, but the Lord is with him and shows him mercy. If you're under the crushing pressure of a situation right now, but you're living for God with all your heart, you need to lift up your hands and you need to say in the face of your enemy, I know that God is with me. You need to lift up your hands right now and say, I know that mercy is with me. The mercy of God endureth forever. And I know that as I'm walking into the dream and the vision of God, and God is with me, and God's gonna help me, and God's gonna bless me, and this is gonna be good. You ought to be whistling down the steps into the prison. My, here I go into the jailhouse, and this is going to be an adventure in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, read on. He's in prison, and God shows him mercy.
And gave him favor.
And gave him favor. Oh, boy, I get favor in the jailhouse. Just what I was looking for, like being promoted as a slave. Now I got favor as a criminal. In the jailhouse.
Favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Yeah.
And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison.
I'm getting promoted in the prison. Yay, Lord. This is wonderful.
And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it.
Have you ever been eating something God served up and you're saying, God, this is just great, but you don't believe a word of it? You keep saying, this is great, God. Mm-mm. I love what you're serving up, God. This is wonderful. Praise God. And even though your natural mind, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, is screaming at you to break and run, go somewhere else. But God keeps serving us up. You just need to keep eating it. Keep shoveling it down and say, this is what God has served up. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. And I'm not going to let the devil know that I'm disappointed. And I'm not going to let the enemy know. And I'm not going to let people around me know. I'm going to look like the prototypical victorious child of God. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I want to make God proud. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is good, God. I'm getting a promotion in the jailhouse. Read on.
The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Everything he did was coming up roses in jail, in slavery. But this, you can't see, the jailer can't see, Joseph can't see. This is his entrance into Pharaoh's house. We know the story. We stand as God outside and see the end from the beginning. And we understand where he's taking him. When we're teaching our Sunday school kids and we're singing the songs, we know how the story ends. But when you don't know how the story is going to end, You have to project by faith that this is happening within the parameters of the dream and the vision of God. And I'm embracing it, and I'm believing it, and I'm loving it, and I'm on board with it, and I'm investing in it, and I'm singing about it, and I'm not just a passive passenger in the things of God, but I'm on board, and I'm energized, and I'm a part of it. You know, your response has to be a little bit energetic for God to be able to use you in the midst of his situation. This is his entrance to Pharaoh's house, and he serves well in the prison. And his performance is excellent in the prison. And let me just tell you, on your job, if you're a mama, you be the best mama in the city of Birmingham. If daddy's helping or not, you be the best mama. You don't get off from mama job because of the fact that daddy's not around. Daddy, if you're doing a good job and mama's not doing her job, you don't complain and fuss and fume and hang around all bitter and smoke coming out of the top of your head because mama's not doing your job and you're having to do two jobs and oh, poor pitiful you and life is so bad. You understand? No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just telling you where the reality is. You belong to God. Buck up under this thing and take flight in the midst of the dream and the vision of God. And don't let these things get you down. It's all a part of the process. It's all a part of the plan. It's what you have to walk through to get there. So make up your mind that you're going to walk through anything. Praise God. On the job, you should be the best hand on the job. If the crushing pressure is against you and the union is against you or the boss is against you or if the workers conspire against you, you just need to be the best hand on the job. You don't slow down. You don't do half-shod work. You say, I'm going to be the best hand they have because I'm a child of God and I'm not serving them. I'm serving him and I'm a part of the dream and the vision of God and all of this is a part of it and I don't understand it all, but I'm going to make God proud in the middle of what I'm doing. God's going to look down and say, that's my boy, that's my servant, that's my dreamer, that's the one the vision is about. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So he's in jail and he's getting promotions and he's getting favor and he keeps on doing the right thing. So then he meets the butler and the baker. You know this story and you've known it all your life. Isn't it amazing that Joseph isn't swallowed up by cynicism, skepticism? That he keeps that good and sweet, godly attitude. He maintains his vision. Read Genesis 47 and 8.
And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today?
Why are you so sad? You can tell when people are sad. Now, this is the people of God asking the other folks, why are they so sad? The other folks ought not ever be asking the people of God, why are you so sad? Why are you so sad, Brother Terrell? Why are you so sad, Sister Patience? Why hast thou countenance fallen? Why do you have the mully grubs? The people on the job want to know. The neighbors want to know. That gal comes in and out of there all the time, and she's so sad. She looks like she's bearing a weight of 10,000 pounds on her. You know, the world never should be looking at the church and saying, wherefore art thou so sad? Why are you so sad? But the church asked the world, why are you sad? Because we got an answer for that. We got a remedy for that. We got something that'll answer that. Read on. Why are you so sad?
And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.
Yeah, and Joseph said.
And Joseph said.
Joseph said, yeah. Well, forget about those dreams. I had a dream one time. But, man, it's been a long time ago. And since then, I've been in a pit. And I've been sold like a cow down into Egypt, and they sold me on a slave block, and some joker bought me and took me to his house and put me in slavery, and I was in bondage there. Doesn't this just make you want to cry? And then his wife lied about me, and they threw me in prison, and here I am in prison. So forget about those dreams. Dreams will get you in trouble. My advice would be don't dream. Don't dream. Some joker will throw you in a pit. Somebody will sell you off into slavery. That's not what Joseph said. That's what backsliders say. That's what offended hearts say. They'll still come to church, but they'll sit back and they'll analyze everything. Yeah, I used to be like that, yeah. And I've been burned a few times, you know. So I've gained wisdom. I don't participate in all that foolishness now, you know. Joseph didn't say that. Joseph said,
"Do not interpretations belong to God?"
He said tacitly, "I still believe in dreams. I still believe in visions, and I know they come from God." Do you know we're 20 years downstream? He's had all kinds of trouble, and he says that dream is still as real as it ever was in my life. It's still shining. It's still real. He's still defined by it. He is tenacious. He will not turn it loose. If you've been beat up and you've been misused and you've been walking through some trouble, and the dream and the vision of God in your life is a little cloudy and it's a little dust covered, you need to get it out tonight and shine it up and remember what God has said and remember the calling of God and remember the gift of God and remember the promise of God and remember no power in heaven and earth can change what God said and remember that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If he gave it, he won't take it back. And he said, "Don't dreams belong to God?" Read on.
"Tell me them, I pray you."
Tell me a dream. I'm a dreamer myself. And I'm an interpreter of dreams. And so we see that Joseph believes still in the dream. And this is his access to Pharaoh's house. Because Pharaoh has a dream. And he has another brief disappointment. That joker that he told the dream to and he lived. The other one died. He went back to Pharaoh's house, but he forgot about Joseph. It's another 2 years until Pharaoh has a dream of his own. And read Genesis 41, 14 through 16.
"Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph."
Yeah, because the baker said, or the butler, whoever it is, he said, "Sunday school teacher, help me." He said, "I know a guy in jail that does good with dreams." And Pharaoh says, "Go get him." And so Pharaoh sent and called him. Read on.
"And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon."
In a moment.
"And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh."
He looked and smelled better than he had in 20 years. Coming in to see the king. All of a sudden, he's off a dungeon floor and into the tiled hallways of the palace of the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth. Read on.
"And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace."
Everyone say, God answers dreams. God is in control. Praise God. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that your dream is still alive and that the vision of God in your life is still alive and that God's able to accomplish everything that he's ever promised in your life? Do you have an excitement when you think about the things of God, or are you beaten down and worn down? You need to quit looking at circumstance and start looking at your dream again. You need to pull it out, shine it up, get it off the shelf, dust it off. You need to start talking about it and singing about it. I've got a dream in my life that God has given me, and nothing can change that. Praise God. God's going to give you an answer, Pharaoh. Now, this is a perfect opportunity for Joseph to say, now I'm about to get back at all of them. Do you realize he's about to be the prime minister of Egypt? And that one morning, Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar are going to open up the Cairo Gazette over coffee. And they're going to read the headline that says, Joe just made prime minister of Egypt. And they lied about him and put him in jail. We don't get any backstory on that at all. But he's in a perfect position to poison Egypt, to destroy, to withhold the vision and the dream from others. But his success is in releasing the dream and the vision to those who are his enemy, to those who are his oppressors. He's got to be like the little girl in the house of the leper. And he's dying of leprosy, and he's an Assyrian general. And she says, "Naaman, would to God you were back in Israel. There's a prophet of God there, and there's a God there that can heal you." That little girl had suffered at the hands of the Assyrians, and I don't know what they did to her village or her family. I don't know what she might have gone through, but she instinctively knew, as it is apparent in this story, that you can't withhold the good of God from your enemy or your oppressor. Your pathway to success in the kingdom of God, your pathway to actualizing the dream and the vision of God, is to release the goodness of God and the dream of God and the vision of God to everybody else you can, even those that oppress you and even those that trouble you. I would say there's probably a greater impact when you do release it to somebody that's treated you wrong. Praise God. So God's going to give it. Verse 28, Reggie.
This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh.
This is the thing I'm telling you. God is about to show it. Verse 32.
And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass.
He said, I know about dreams, Pharaoh. God has already told me. You get this, and this is replete. This is redundant. He has not forgotten his dream, nor his vision. He yet is walking in it. He said, I'm going to tell you something about dreams. You saw it twice. That's because it's redundant. This is emphasizing, and God's going to bring it to pass pretty fast in your life, Pharaoh. Read on.
Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt.
Verse 37, he said, you need to choose somebody to be ruler over Egypt, to handle you and guide you and to be your navigator through this time of famine and these years of plenty. Read on.
And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?
And when he told a pagan, godless pagan, about the dream of God and about the God of Abraham, and when he opened up his vision and his knowledge, this man said, the Spirit of God is in this man. Pharaoh himself was a god, but he didn't have an answer. His daddy was supposed to be the sun god riding across the heavens in his chariot every morning, Ra. And they were enmeshed in all sorts of idolatry and pagan worship. But he said, this man, because none of my sorcerers could do it and none of my wise men could do it, but this man, he has the Spirit of God. When you unleash the vision, the dream, the power, the potential of God on others in your workplace or in your family or in those areas where you walk in life, where you have difficult relationships and it's not an easy task that God has given you, when you open up the goodness of God there is the potential for them to see God in you, and there's a moment there for redemption that you'd never find any other way. There's a moment there for God to be able to stir and shake the heart of a pagan, somebody that's an unbeliever, and for them to come to God. No wonder he called you the light of the world. No wonder he's called you to let your light shine and not hide it under a bushel. Read on, Reggie.
Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise so as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou.
He's 20 something years, and now in 24 hours he steps up into the second highest authority in all of Egypt, which is the greatest empire on the face of the earth. Read on.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt.
And the dream is opening up and the vision is taking place. But everything God does is process, and all of it is time intensive. And you have to be patient, and you have to be able to walk this with God. And you can't be crippled by days or weeks or months or even years of what seems to be a negative situation. But it's the process of God. Now, the caveat, the asterisk by this, you're doing this with all of your heart. You're living for God, and you know you're living for God. I want you to understand, don't be worn down by the time and by the pressure of it, because God is working the dream and the vision in your life. Read on.
And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck.
Touch your neighbor and say, God can change your whole world in 24 hours. Say, God can deliver you right now. God can change everything right now. God can turn it upside down right now. You can walk out of a prison and be a prime minister right now. Anybody believe that? Praise God. You may be walking through it for a little while. It may be pressure. It may be tough, but you can walk through this for a little while longer. You can walk through this a little while longer. I got an idea that the greater the victory, the longer the journey may be, but you've got to be up to the calling of anybody here up for what God has for you. Do you want to see the actualization of the dream of God and the vision of God in your life? Read on, Reggie.
And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt.
And he's riding along in his chariot, and Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar are bowing down on the street. And he is the guy that was in the pit. And he is the guy that was sold on the auction block. And if you could just extrapolate out of this where you are right now, you may be in a difficult place. But God is able to put you in a high place. God is able to change the whole circumstance of your life. He is able. If you are able to walk in the vision and in the dream. Now, in this, Joseph doesn't seek revenge. He doesn't withhold the prophetic answer from Pharaoh. You know, it's the ultimate desire of a bitter heart to have power over those who have offended. The bitter heart sits and imagines, one day I'll have power. Ah, then I'll get you. You'll pay for this. Ah, I know what you did to me. Joseph doesn't do that. And you don't do that either. You're not like that. You don't imagine revenge, and you don't sit something 5, 10, 15 years ago. You're still stewing about it. You don't do. I know you don't. You're nice people. You don't do that. You don't hold grudges, and you don't have enemies. And I know you. You're the people of God. You are sweet all the way through. You don't think bad about anybody. I know it. So forget about all that. It's just other folks that have bitter hearts. They want to inflict pain on others. But Joseph was a blessing in every house, every circumstance he found himself in. And in it, he fulfills the promise of Abraham. He's blessed, and he's a blessing. And that's the calling of God for you. Lindsay, come help me. He was objectified. He was exploited. But he was blessed, and he prospered. Praise God. He was a slave, but he walked as a child of God. He prospered his masters. When you go to work tomorrow, you need to pray a prayer when you walk in that job and say, God, help me to make this place prosper. Help me to make my boss prosper. If you have someone who is directly over you in your workplace, you need to pray, God, help me to make them prosper. Help me to be as Joseph in all of these houses. Because as you do, you're just looking at the small circle of your human activity right there. But God's looking at that small circle in the larger vision of his plan for you and his dream for you. He acted and lived as though he were serving God in every place where he went. Praise God. Let's stand together. No, something jumpy, something small, something bouncy, something powerful. Joseph had a deeply personal trial. But he never let it overshadow the dream and the vision. Rather, you know what he did? He let the trial be defined by the dream. He let the problem be defined by the vision. The dream and the vision were greater than all the trouble that he ever encountered. Praise God. How you walk in your natural circumstance is going to determine your spiritual outcome. How he walked determined the destiny of his family. He saved himself. He saved his family.
He saved an emerging nation. He saved the world. Praise God. You know what he did? He prospered others. He added value to everybody that he met. Praise God. Praise God. I want to bring something good into every house I walk in. I want to bring something good into every circumstance in which God leads me. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here a child of God? You love this with all your heart. Praise God. Turn to somebody by you and tell them, I am in the middle of the dream of God. I'm walking in a vision. I'm walking in the power of God's vision. My God, it's going to be good, and it's going to get gooder. How's your Monday going to be? Oh, my Monday's going to be great. Man, I can't wait to step into where I'm going tomorrow because I'm one day closer. I'm one step closer. God's about to pull the trigger on this thing, and it's going to get better. It's going to get richer. It's going to get deeper. God, mighty God. Praise God. Now, I want somebody that really believes that you are in the palm of God's hand and God is leading you and shaping you and that there's nothing in your life right now that's not subject to the power of God. I want you to just shout a little bit about it. Just do that right now. Somebody that feels like you're in a prison house of trouble, I want you to break out a little bit. And I want you to just begin to dance and shout. I want you to break out. Somebody that's sick in your body, I want you to begin to worship. You may have to walk. I don't know. You may not be able to move very well. But you just begin to walk. Praise the Lord. Somebody that believes this and you want this, but you're struggling because the pressure's so great and it's been so long and you just feel like you're walking through molasses and you need some help. I want you to come down and stand in this altar because we want somebody with victory to come lay their hands on you and pray for you. If you feel like you're in a place where you want this and you believe this, but it's so hard, just take the next step. Come stand down in this altar. Somebody gonna lay their hand on you. Come on, if you believe God, come on, lay hands on these. Somebody pray for them. Let Holy Ghost flow out of your vessel. Somebody pray a prayer. Somebody utter a prophecy. Let that Holy Ghost flow out of your vessel onto somebody else. Pray down some glory. Pray down some anointing.